This Do Lectures episode features Welsh entrepreneurs David and Alison Lee Wilson, recorded live at the global event in Cardigan, West Wales in 2011.
Well, thank you very much indeed for inviting us. It's actually incredibly scary following those very talented and energetic speakers. But we wanted to share with you what we've done so far in our lives, and we've hung it on the theme of eccentricity, because that's what we feel everybody has inside them and we should celebrate it. The next page, our daughter, by the way, did the illustrations for us. She's used a fish theme because our lives have been surrounded by the sea. We've always made a living out of the sea, as you'll find out. But dare to be eccentric. But I have a problem with people who push it a little bit too far and might show off or be plain weird.
Right, now, eccentricity is a word that is often used, and it's used in a way that is unnerving. But what we want to do is to put to you that eccentricity is absolutely essential as a tool to get you from talking about something to doing it. Now, centrics often reinforce each other, or they'll always or often just go round and round. You hear the same argument, we heard riffs earlier, but we're passionate that ordinary people, and we were two students in North Wales, ordinary people, all of us, can achieve extraordinary things if you believe in it. Now, that come back to that word, eccentric. Most people think of the first things, the aberrant, the bizarre, the dotty, the nuts, the outlandish. You get that picture. But actually, if you think about it, they all mean different. And there's another meaning of eccentric if you look in the thesaurus, which is not from the centre. And we want to put to you that you can achieve things if you don't just stay in the middle, repeating whatever pattern it is. You move to the edge. And in engineering terms, you have an eccentric cam. Something can work perfectly well. It can be essential, but it's off-centre. I quite enjoy being on the edge. We're on the edge of Wales. We're on the edge of contemporary conferences. Being on the edge is exciting.
So one of us enjoys it and the other one moderates it. I'll ask you at the end which is which.
Yeah. Well, they asked us to tell our story. So in schools and stuff, I was asked to leave from school. But at some point, I had to make a choice. Do a career job or do something else? For me, I'd done the equivalent of the Harvard Business School thing, but a business school in North Wales. And I had to make a decision whether to go and work in London, and I was aiming at working in a bank, or do something else. And I had an interview with the Bank of England. And when we wrote these slides, we had one of our rare arguments. Alison put inverted commas around it.
So that's before we heard your talk. Yeah.
So we may need the divorce lawyer. But we did have to make that huge choice, that jumping off that the previous speaker talked about. And my decision point was lying in that field. Do I go for the Bank of England interview, or do I start something completely different? And the stimulus was a friend who was growing oysters, selling fish, and maybe I could sell his oysters, or maybe I could do something. And we made that huge decision. I actually went for the interview to the Bank of England, and it was decided for me, really, because all they wanted to talk about was that I was wearing a green suit. And I wanted to talk about economics and what I could do for the world, and they just wanted to talk about, why did you wear a green suit to come and work for a bank? And I knew then straight away that I was never going to work for a bank.
Meanwhile, I'd obviously met David and fallen in love with him, and we were eating a lot of fish. So I decided that the only way around this was to take a job in a local school so we could put lentils on the table instead.
Our next big decision, and this is stories from Wales, this one, is that we bought a derelict building, a house, we borrowed a small amount of money from relatives, and we tried lots of things in this building. We had a bit of fish to hang it on, but...
lots of fish.
But we also had a bank loan to repay, and we tried this building as an art gallery, all those things. But that next big moment was just thinking eccentrically when somebody said to us, why aren't your live lobsters bright red? And for those of you who've eaten lobsters or seen them, live lobsters are dark blue, black. And out of that just came this idea. Well, we could explain this, we could tell people about it, but we could charge them and we could start a business out of it. So out of that came the Sea Zoo. We called it a Sea Zoo because it sounds more exciting than an aquarium, but it had an ecological message. We've had 2.5 million visitors there in the 15 years that we ran that successfully. We employed 240 different people. We've released 10,000 baby lobsters through that growing project back into the sea. It's still going, it's still sustainable. We actually felt it was time for new blood and we sold it, put it on the market, but who should buy it? An old member of staff. So it's now got a new lease of life and going along there. But how do you get PR for something that is completely new with no budget? And we heard earlier that you can do it with bugger all. And for us, our key moment was, for those of you who come from outside Britain, Michael Fish is a famous weather forecaster. He's on the TV all the time. And we had a simple idea that we could ask for people whose real names were Fishy to come and visit us, and they would meet Michael Fish, and we'd have a competition, and we would serve them the fish of their name, and we'd have a vote for it.
You can imagine how pissed off Mr. Winkle was.
Yeah. But it was a simple idea, and here, just this doom theme of ideas plus energy equals change. We had that idea, we put a lot of energy into it, we paid for his B&B, and we gave him £100. But the result, we were in every British newspaper, a lot of foreign ones, as a typical one. They all loved it. Almost zero budget got us worldwide coverage just through a simple idea. I can talk about that, but that's just an illustration. But it's not all about success.
In 2001, we had foot and mouth disease in Britain, and 80% of our income suddenly stopped. We had no tourists coming. We also have a small amount of grazing land and we couldn't charge the farmers for that. And we had a holiday cottage and that was obviously unoccupied. And the thing that we felt was worse was a complete lack of support and understanding. The Welsh Assembly government and the British government took a long time to realise that it's going to hit other people other than farmers. So we decided to take it into our own hands. And I don't know any of you remember John Peel, who's sadly no longer with us, but he had a show called Home Truths on Radio 4 in the morning, Saturday morning. And I just emailed the editor and said, I think you should know what's going on here. And they sent me recording equipment, and then they did about a 20-minute slot on us. And it made all the difference in the world. People were so kind. They emailed. We were sent an envelope with £20 in it to put towards the debts that were mounting.
It was incredibly emotional at that time, and we reflected earlier how sadness communicates. But we were at a point where the bank said, well, you've got to sell the house and the business, but publicly banks were supporting people. Yeah. Tony Blair had said that he was then Prime Minister, do not visit the countryside, and we were really backs against the wall.
However,
and
we did
that
survive.
Sadness that Alison communicated through Home Truths had an incredible, powerful effect. And we went on from that.
And this is a picture of me dressed as a lobster. And I handed a petition in to 10 Downing Street, which was quite difficult with the claws.
Now, this is, if you want to get noticed, you've got to do something different. Now, there was a countryside march on London. All the farmers, we were all really upset because we'd lost all our income. We all had banks, people, employees to support. But guess who got invited inside 10 Downing Street?
Yes.
The person dressed as a lobster. They had to get undressed before to have the security search. But that took us a long way. But it's a memory of a difficult time, but with hindsight, it was really important.
Going back to the theme of eccentricity, we believe that it is part of innovation. And at the end of the 1990s, tourism was beginning to take a bit of a nosedive. It was incredibly seasonal. We made a very good living in the summer for us and our 36 staff, and then we steadily lost all the money in the winter. So we thought we would have to come up with a new stream of income. So we sat down with some staff, and we came up with 60 different ideas, just completely off the wall, things like making the castles of Wales out of sand for people to buy and put on their desks. Not surprisingly, that one didn't work. And we tried a few of them, and the sea salt one was the one that stuck. It stuck because we knew we had clean seawater, because we were already breeding lobsters and seahorses at that time. And there it is. And we also had a license. You have to pay the Queen to extract water from the sea. It's lucky we didn't tell the comedian that last night, wasn't it? And as you can see, it's very clean. So the birth of Hal and Mon happened on our aga, the very aga in that very saucepan. David literally scooped up some water, we put it on the aga, and we saw what would happen. And what did happen was that we got a grey sludge. So we went back to the drawing board until we got it right. Now we supply, I think, 22 countries with this product, and you will hopefully have seen it on your tables at dinner last night. Although I have to say the food was very well seasoned, so you probably didn't taste it. We now have 12 sustainable jobs, and it's all going swimmingly.
Right, we've seen a drawing of the White House. Here's another one.
That's mine,
different.
It's not as good.
You can
I'm
tell
sorry.
Why we're not cartoonists. But, but we've gone from just a farmhouse in Wales to supplying the White House indirectly. So Tony Blair, Obama's favourite chocolate is topped with our sea salt now. And if you either visit the White House or what he has on his desk... have we got a picture of it?
Yeah, we have. The next one.
That's
that one.
It. So it's just a smoked salt from Wales that tops a caramel chocolate. And that's quite nice to have taken something from a farmhouse to the White House.
It's smoked for us on Anglesey as well by friends of ours.
Yeah.
We don't smoke it ourselves.
So we'll get the trumpet blowing out of the way, because I'm using this to show that you have to think big. Even if you're just started with that saucepan... you can take it a long way. So we're in supermarkets and Marks and Spencer's. Top restaurant in Britain is the Fat Duck. We've got the awards. TV's done stuff on us. There's always something in the pipeline. There's a programme in the autumn called Aid in Britain by the guy from The Young Ones and Bottom. And there are no PR agencies. It's just Alice and I. This is the third business that we've evolved into. And we're just saying you don't have to have PR agencies to take you a long way.
Right, this is just to illustrate the fact that we do like to work with chefs. In fact, there's one here in the audience that we're working with at the moment. And he is using it. You can just see it in the corner there. It was in our old packaging. But unfortunately, a lot of chefs nowadays will only use products if you pay them. And these were in the far-off, heady days when that didn't happen.
Right, jumping up again to changing and having to be eccentric. We'd spent many years really coming up with this flaky sea salt, and then we met a multinational who are Walker's Crisps, and they said, well, we want to use you. We'll take your salt, but we want you to grind it up and turn it into a powder, which is a bit odd when we'd gone to all this trouble getting it how we wanted. But sometimes the customer is right, but we could... do something different. And we entertained these people, lawyers from Switzerland working for Pepsi, the buyers. We entertained them with a homemade picnic from Alison on the seashore. And on our terms, we said, look, if you put our name on the pack, if you write our story on the back, we will work with you. And we had a lawyer saying, look, we're Pepsi. You can't tell us what to do. And I said, yes, we can. We're a small business. We own it. We can walk away from this deal. You've come to us. And the result is that we've had some very, very good orders from them and worked quite well with them.
And they decided to work with us because we were quirky. They actually used that word.
And that's how we first came up with the idea for this talk, is we did some market research when we were looking at our branding and our company, and we got somebody outside to say, well, why do you use this little family company in North Wales? And somebody said, they're quirky and eccentric, but they're quite nice. Which was nice to hear, but Alison.
So this is our team, and everybody does look reasonably happy to be there. We've chosen two white Jack Russells so that when they pack the salt, you can't actually see the hairs in the carton.
I hope she's joking. Ways of getting across to people. We decided to look at our image, and we used even food art. So this is some of the spice salt and vanilla salt making a wave. We actually found a poet who wrote about salt. But we actually went with 10 of the icons from round our island. I won't go through them, but if you go on the internet, you can see what they are. And it's just grinding or grounding people's ideas that it is a local product from Wales. And when we launched it, another link to Manchester Business School was they said, well, you can't add value doing that sort of thing. And so business schools aren't always right.
A bit like you were saying, we were perceived as a commodity. Salt is a commodity. You sprinkle it on the road to get rid of ice. But we believe that by making it different, by making it taste different, and by stressing its Welsh roots, that it would work. So you can see that we are very small, but we are very perfectly formed. So we're operating out of basically food grade sheds at the moment, and this is our shop. So you can come and loll on the sofa and taste your salt in comfort. And we also have things like quizzes for children to do, so that the adults can taste if the children don't want to, and the children can just do some drawings and things.
So, just staying with this idea of eccentricity and innovation, that you've got to do things your own way. No one can tell you how it should be done. If you feel passionately about it, you can do it. You can stretch the brand. You can stretch people's idea completely. So we're at the moment, we're exploring liquid Hallonmon.
I.e. brine.
But it's also about reusing what you've got already, and we've done this because each business has metamorphosed into the next business, and some people might say this looks like a junkyard and my woodshed, but I'd say it's the Phoenix Centre, where things get reused and reused and they come round again. Let's move on to what our ultimate aims are, and not to just work in a shed, and we've designed and worked to come up with an eco-sustainable building, and this is one of our big dreams to actually achieve this. We haven't found the right partners to do it with, so we haven't done it yet, but it doesn't matter because we know where we're going.
A small do that we do is that we consider ourselves to be professional. We are a very small company, but we do have full traceability, and part of the system for that is that the initials of each salt maker is on the bottom of their tube, and it's really nice for them because they can see their name going out into the country, and they will quite often pick a tube up in a shop and have a look at it. And it's nice for the person who eats it because they can actually see a picture of the person who's made it for you. We meet once a week with all the staff, which is us really telling them what's happening, but then we also meet to problem share and discuss highs and lows. We've also got accreditations, which you need nowadays as well.
Right, we're into our last couple of minutes. Small do is you've got to have fun. You're taking these crazy risks, you're being eccentric, you've actually got to have fun. For us, that means completely being curious all the time. So this year's project is we've just acquired a derelict gypsy caravan. We love living by the sea. We have dogs under our desks. When we go on holiday, we bring our two pet tortoises into the office. We're passionate about having things called hobbies, which are very old-fashioned. But another small do is you have to be polite and courteous. Certainly in Wales, if I was talking to people about the narrow roads, and I feel that you just have to acknowledge and say thank you when somebody pulls over for you. and it irritates me when they don't. But it's a small thing, and if you follow this, it really does matter. If you do as you would be done by, you will get shat on sometimes. That's just life. But you've still got to do it. Alison bakes birthday cakes for our staff. It's just a small thing, but it makes a big difference. I've got a small do. One of the things I got was a Winston Churchill Travel Award, which lets you go around the world studying almost anything except arms manufacture. So anyone with a British passport can apply for this. You've got a 1 in 10 chance of applying. Closing dates about a month away. If you feel passionate about something and you need money to help you do it, it's one side of A4 in application form, 1 half-hour interview. So there's what would you do?
And then there's a picture of the dogs after a hard day's work packing salt.
So that's, we're contented with what we're doing. So the big do is that we need eccentrics. We want you to recognise your inner eccentric. And I'm going to finish by actually showing you a do model, possibly a first. I was thinking about this on Sunday, how to get over the idea of eccentricity and also sustainability. So I actually went up in the attic and I got out a Meccano set and I got out what looks like a very, very like a do lecture key, but it was the stimulus for making me just think, OK, what can I do? So to demonstrate the centricness of it, centrics just go along. So there's just a wheel that will go round and round. So it will drive it along, albeit slowly. But that's just the centrics going round and round. But actually what you need as well are the eccentrics. And here I just built an eccentric cam. And if you need that prod to go and do your do, just think there's... That will actually... So, on that note, we've overrun by a minute, but thank you very much indeed.
The Do Lectures is here to share stories of remarkable people in the hope they will inspire you to go and do amazing things too. There are over 300 talks to listen to, or if you prefer, watch on our website, thedolectures.com. Hit the subscribe button on your favourite podcast platform to get the latest episodes when they come out.